Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello, hello everybody. Welcome to Conversations with Me. Thank you so much for coming. I super, super appreciate it. There's a lot of things that everybody could be doing right now, but you're here listening, and I appreciate it. And energetically speaking, whether you're here live or you're here or you're listening to it on the archives, your presence is here. This really is a multidimensional experience. And, you know, there's a lot going on. So let's get on with the show. I have a couple announcements. First of all, happy spring equinox. And I think let's declare that we're going to celebrate the spring equinox. It doesn't necessarily have to be in a happy box. This spring equinox, I feel, this spring in general, no matter which side of the globe you're on, whether it's coming into fall or coming into the warmer spring, is definitely going to be a the visual I have is of a, the tire wrench, you know, like opening up something metal. You know, looking into a space that might have been dark for quite some time, and as we, you know, take this tire iron and pull back, you know, this side of the box that's our lives, what we're going to reveal to ourselves may be dark, may be scary, but I promise you, it's a part of yourself. And that's all. Once we know that, we can really come into these experiences with a different perspective, because to not honor and to not be willing to witness an aspect of self, you know, I'm going to be blunt, that's ludicrous. Of course we want to witness and integrate all parts of ourselves, because that's the gift and the beauty of what this time is allotting us to do. So, and we're doing it together. We really are doing it together. So we'll talk more about that as the show goes on. I also want to give a big shout out. I have two sponsors now for this radio show. Papa Bear, which is my dad. Thank you, Dad, for sponsoring the show. This is the third year my father has sponsored my show. And my second sponsor is Big Scott, who is my boyfriend. Yes, it's a family business. Thank you, Scott. I super appreciate you believing in me and supporting me. And energetically, because you're sponsoring the show now, your energy is with us. And that's always fun. So thank you for that. Okay, and my third and final wonderful announcement is to my beautiful guest today. It's her birthday. Happy birthday, Patricia, just being me, Farrington. Yay! Welcome to the show, Patricia.
Thank you.
Yay! You having a good birthday? Is it a good start so far?
It is. I thought it was so funny because, like, all winter long, I tend to wear, my favorite color is, like, pinkish, purple, royal blue colors, things like that. And all, okay. In the winter, I always wear these bright colors, because in the winter, when you don't get as much sunshine and all that kind of stuff, I do things to make me feel perky and happy. Today I'm wearing black.
Well, you know, welcome to that, you know, that spring equinox thing.
I thought it was funny. I didn't even think about it until I was listening to you talk about embracing the dark side. I was like, it's my birthday. For the first time in I don't know how many days or weeks, we've got a warm day. It's going to be almost 70 degrees and sunshine. I put on a black long-sleeve shirt. I'm like, what's wrong with me?
Well, I mean, and we should talk about that. That's a great segue, because I think that's how a lot of people are feeling, you know, in their own lives right now. you know, looking at their own reflections, and whether it's in their clothes, in their relationships, and kind of feeling that, you know, it's a very period.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because, I mean, in my humble opinion, we cannot move through the soul's journey until, you know, whether kicking and screaming or gracefully and vulnerably, we accept, you know, the black shirts in our life and the anger and the fact that we failed. And, you know, it's like there's so much about our conditioning, which would, I definitely want to talk more about the conditioning, the AI. And for me, this has been a journey of food. And ironically, the symbolism of sugar in my life, which is, you know, it was so funny the other day on my MP3 player. Remember the song Sugar Sugar by the Archies?
Oh, I love that song.
Right? I do too. I do. And it was so funny. So it came on my MP3 player, and I'm listening to the words, you know, ah, sugar, you know, for those who didn't know
you're
what
I'm
talking
candy,
about.
You're my candy girl, and you've got me wanting you.
Exactly. I mean, and I'm listening to that, and because, you know, I'll tell you, when we think of AI, you know, a lot of us go immediately to, you know, the technology of MP3 players, cell phones, and I'm not saying that, obviously, that isn't AI. I mean, AI, you know, is literally, as George and his wonderful guest Robert Platter recently shared, you know, it's an insidious, relentless aspect of the life we are living in right now. It is real. It should not be ignored. You know, ignoring things no longer makes you feel better. Facing things, this is a time to live virtuously, because it is through our virtues that we transcend and transform that which has been hidden for ever, basically, as far as the human experience is concerned. But what we can now face with grace and power. We are empowered right now. And I mean, I'm finding it in my own experience. I'm going to kind of jump right in and interrupt or share whatever moves you. I'll get this party starting. So I wanted to share with everybody that so recently, February 19th, which is a very big day for me, historically speaking, I divorced my relationship with sugar. I mean, I made the conscious commitment due to candida, and I want to say this word. Everybody should look up candida on the internet, because when George Kavassalis said candida on a radio show, it struck me to the core of my being. I looked it up, and the symptoms of candida are what, in my humble opinion, many people are treating, but they're not treating the candida itself. And that can be problematic, where you don't actually end up like busting through the illness. You in treating the symptoms only and not the core of the disease, you don't get better. But now let me say this. Treating candida put your warrior garb on, because letting go of sugar is the hardest relationship I have ever had to let go of. And I'm telling you, I pressed myself to let go of sugar over the last 20 years by letting go of cocaine, by letting go of cigarettes, by letting go of certain relationships, human relationships. It was all in preparation. It was like that was truly, those were just preparation experiences compared to letting go of sugar. And I wouldn't trade this time for anything. But I say this to people that, you know, like I live with my boyfriend, Scott. I live with my dad. My dad's actually diabetic, so we don't have a lot of sugar in the house. But he buys a lot of the sugar-free products, which in my humble opinion are just filled with chemicals and stuff. I'm not going that route. I'm not going sugar-free. I'm not eating cakes. I'm not eating candies. I'm not eating cookies. And I can tell you, honestly, I'm a nanny. I used to tell the kids all the time when their parents were, you know, like limiting, you know, they could only have 5 M&Ms or, you know, like they can only have 2 cookies, I would say to them, when you get older, you can make the choice to have as much as you want. Because I would feel bad for them because I was eating sugar like it was basically on the elemental food table and I can't even tell. I was eating a tremendous amount of sugar. And so flipping the coin and now not eating those food types, what I am revealing to myself is truly just astronomical. Now, the first thing that I wanted to say is when I said that I'm divorcing sugar, this is a divorce. I mean, I see my ex everywhere. In almost every house I go to, whether I'm working as a nanny or going to a friend's house, my boyfriend Scott is still very much, he eats sugar. And this is such a big deal in my own life. I would never say to him, you know, you have to quit because I had to quit. Because I'll be honest with you, this like I said, I compared this to the cocaine, letting go of the cocaine. I mean, this is a major shift in my world. And to get here, in order to quit, it's not about quitting sugar. It's about literally this for me is one of the last vestiges that the Matrix has over my life. And go ahead.
I want to add one thing to what you just said because I thought that was so key when you were talking about with Scott how you didn't want to push that, you know, him giving up sugar.
Okay.
Because when you first talking about your candida and your addiction to sugar, and so because we've started connecting and bonding with one another, I went out to the grocery store and I started buying all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to change this, that. And I'm like, wait a minute. All of a sudden now, when I never crave a candy bar, I'm craving candy bars. I'm saying after I put this healthy food in my refrigerator, which I eat healthy anyway, but I was
right.
I had to go to the extreme to go, oh, extra healthy. And so I'm sending David out. I'm going, hey, there's a new candy bar out called such and such. Go get it. And he's looking at me like, who are you? Because I never asked for stuff like that.
Okay.
What was happening was listening to you, instead of me just, you know, watching your experience and being there to support you, I had to actually start going with you. It was causing me to crave things I've never craved.
Yeah.
So I was feeling what you had been feeling, and I didn't really get it. But then I had to step back because I'm like, wait a minute, I don't have this addiction to sugar, but I'm getting ready to get one.
Yeah, well, don't you feel that? Because you know how we've been talking a lot about quantumly entangling with each other?
Yes, I got it. I mean, that was a prime example. It's like it was the same thing as this: a girlfriend comes over and tells you that she's got a dirty, rotten boyfriend, and then you walk into the room and you see your husband or boyfriend, and you're like, uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, and you fight with him. No, absolutely. That's exactly right. That is, you know, and we're getting to the point where, you know, in my humble opinion, what's being revealed now is as the veils are thinning, we can quantumly entangle with somebody we're standing in line with, meaning you don't, mm-hmm. we don't even have to speak a word to them, just standing in their field.
Mm-hmm. I respect what you're going through because I felt it.
Right.
Like, I actually got so involved with you and what you're going through that I started taking on your cravings. That is just mind-boggling. It's interesting because you know this occurs. You see the negative, like when you're around somebody negative, you feel negative. When they're having relationship issues and whatever. But I had never experienced it on that level.
Right.
Where all of a sudden something that my whole life, I've never even been a sweet eater. It has to be something really extraordinary for me to want it.
Well, see, and I think the beauty of it was because it wasn't something you normally do, you really got to see that it was quantumly entanglement. See, that it was the template that was being shown because it's not something that you normally crave.
Right, and I also got to see what you're feeling.
Because I'll be honest with you, I've almost reached a saturation point in my life because what I'm seeing in my daily experiences is how much sugar and wheat, because I'm gluten-free now too, and just for the record, I'm not completely sugar-free. There's still sugar in like barbecue sauce or ketchup. So I do still have sugar, and I'm not freaking out that sugar is – I'm going to learn to manage that sugar. I'm just eliminating basically the junk food. I mean, that was – and I'm telling you, friends, I lived on junk food. And two things that I came to realization as I've let this go, and one is that the candida – it is a parasite that not only were my addictions and my cravings affiliated with. I don't crave sugar anymore. It's ironic because most of my addictions were very much emotional-based addictions. I think the hardest one, physical, was still the cigarettes, because When I quit eating the sugar, I quickly saw the cravings, definitely, which was within like the first couple of weeks. But I was also simultaneously feeling this unbelievable presence of self, and it was so interesting because I'm in the midst of reprogramming myself that how do I redefine sweet in my life, because first of all, I've always said I'm an emotional eater, and I am clearly seeing now that's an incorrect statement. I was not an emotional eater. I was a parasitical eater. I ate because the candida told me to eat. Because now that I don't have, I won't say I don't have candida still in my body. I think it's going to take me 6 months to literally shit this stuff out. And I'm doing that, but the cravings have left. If I eat something that I'm not supposed to eat, I can immediately feel the itching. And so I'll go downstairs and take this, yeast control, which Lilu hooked me up with. Thank you, sister. That is amazing stuff. It's plankton, which I don't know why, but I find that fascinating that, well, whales live on plankton, they've always come – it's funny. When in my heaviest of days, in my fattest of days, I used to always say, nobody recognizes whales and elephants are basically beings that carry a lot of blubber. But I used to always say, but they carry a lot of wisdom. So there's got to be something in the fat. Truly, I could talk myself into that.
Think about prior to processed food, the diet that people had. And I thought it was so funny because someone on Facebook in the last few days, I was going to share it and I forgot, posted an article from like 1949, and it said too skinny for your bathing suit. You can put on 10 to 20 pounds in just days.
Oh, I've seen that. Yes. Yes.
Are you kidding me? Hey, let's go back to those days. I like that.
Because it's what's real. I mean, because you're right. Before the whole food industry, whether we're talking GMO, fast foods, it's like everything in the matrix programs us to go. Well, no,
one way or the other.
Well, and it's an overlay. I mean, I really understand from an experiential point of view, the overlay that the Matrix has in our lives, because the presence that I was feeling since letting go of the sugar is now I'm a hyper person in general. That's the nature of who I am. But it was almost like, you know how we give Ritalin to the ADD kids, and Ritalin is a speed. It's an amphetamine. And because they say give them a speed and it will neutralize them to relax them. There's an interesting thing, because the sugar, I think, used to make me think I was being relaxed, just like cigarettes used to make me think I was more relaxed. But I'm really getting them. What it did is it put me relaxed in the Matrix. But from an organic point of view, it was truly, and always will be, detrimental to the physical body. I was starving my body and feeding the candida. Because
wait,
I can tell you, go ahead. Pardon?
I said, go ahead.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I'm rude.
No, you're not rude at all. No, and I tend to have long-winded thoughts, so please speak up. I enjoy when you share your perspective, truly. I mean that. Speak up.
Go ahead.
Come on, girl. It's your birthday.
I can't remember. We've talked, so you just have to tell me if I'm repeating myself, because I never know. I don't listen to these shows after, so I don't know if I said it to you one-on-one.
Oh, no, it's all right.
Stuff.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Repeat. Yes, because a lot of this stuff is worthy of repeating, so repeat.
Okay. Well, so what you said was so key, because, I told you that when I worked in telecommunications, I had a boss that was always like, when I'd come in, I would be really hyper, and he would be in a dark room, and he'd be zoning, and his son was diagnosed with ADD, and he was on medication, and apparently my boss at that time thought that he had the same thing, you know, and so in the morning, he would always want to have a cup of coffee and a cigarette, and he'd want to be in a dark room, and he had explained to me that you just don't understand the zone that takes you into, the calmness that he was feeling, but it was artificial.
That's the key. See, it really is. That is the. It's like, because the only way to truly know the difference inside yourself from the artificial and the organic is you gotta explore the artificial. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not beating myself up because I had a diet of cookies and cakes and candies for the last 35 years. I'm not.
It was an experience.
You know.
I look at it like this. You know, you went through it for a reason. You had to go through that experience.
Exactly.
So now because you went through the experience, and now you're healing yourself, you're also reaching other people that are living the experience that you've already lived and that you're still living, and now you're sharing your experience and helping them. So I feel like that's where we are always teaching each other.
No, well, that's exactly it. I mean, because there's no judgment, because like I said, in all honesty, letting go of sugar, because of its dynamic in life, that it's, you know, going to a restaurant, you know, there's only certain foods I can eat now, and, there's a whole dynamic. It's a lifestyle change. But in all honesty, I'm so desiring to experience myself as my soul that, you know, I'm willing to put the effort in. I'm not only willing, I'm ecstatic to put the effort in. I'm not sure if we talked about this on the last show or if we just talked about it through Facebook, but it's about timing. And I want everybody to know that, before I took this quote-unquote big jump of letting go of sugar, about 2 months ago, I let go of pain medicine, pain relief. I was basically taking Advil at the drop of a hat. I have a headache, take Advil. I have a cramp, take an Advil. And I have a friend of mine, a really good friend of mine, who takes no pain relief. He takes nothing over the counter, no prescriptions. And we were just talking, and, you know, he was like, you know, why do you take the pain relief? And I'm like, well, duh, because I don't want to feel the pain. And he goes to me, he goes, but aren't you always the one saying that the medicine's in the pain? You know, so aren't you kind of, you know, not being on your own path by taking the Advil? And I'm telling you, the timing when he said that to me was just like George when he said the candida. It was like, wow. You know,
But when you were saying this to me, that's also another wow moment, because I'm going to flip something on you in a second, and we're going to be going,
Okay.
I'm going to come back.
Okay. Well, and so the reason why I'm saying that is I find it – so first I was, you know, I let go of the pain relief, and, you know, I was like kind of holding on going, okay, this month's period is going to be an interesting time, because it was almost like I was just programmed to take the Advil. I don't even know if sometimes, you know, I needed it or not, but I just programmed myself to take it during my monthly, and that's when I would take it. But there were other times too, and when he said that, it really struck me as, you know, you got to walk your talk, Goldie. And it's not just about walking my talk, meaning that I'm doing this because I want you guys out there and, you know, in the rest of the world to go, oh, okay, Goldie has integrity. It's about my own integrity, that if I'm going to share that the medicine is in the pain and that it is self coming back home, well, if you're saying that, in order to experience that wisdom, you got to live it. I mean, that I'm talking to myself, literally going, Goldie, you got to live this. So when I started, you know, and I'll be honest with you, that I just cold turkey, so to speak. I just stopped taking Advil. And when I realized when the sugar came up that, you know, like, wow, I don't even know how, you know, because I was reading some of the detoxing situations that your body goes through. And I've definitely had some painful experiences. The other night I had a raging headache, and I'll be honest with you, I took two Bayer aspirin. I bought Bayer aspirin. I won't do Advil anymore. Bayer aspirin, which is somewhat of a more holistic substance, and I did take two of those because it was excruciating. I mean, the candida leaving my brain, and that is what I believe is happening, is just no joke. It is wrapped around my gray matter in there, and holy painful. So what I did is I took two aspirin, and I recognized I was taking too much of the yeast control stuff. It's like I don't have to do this overnight. I don't have to get rid of the candida overnight. I gave myself 6 months to get rid of this, to adjust to a new lifestyle, and I went up in my dose of the yeast control, which literally said, you know, it did its job, but it became a painful experience. And again, not having the sugar ingested in me, I'm starting to realize, easy, babe, easy, go easy on yourself. 6 months, is that's not a failure. Because I was always, the people that know me intimately know that I have no patience whatsoever. You know, I wanted to ascend, you know, yesterday, and, you know, I want the, you know, the things that are coming down the pike in our culture, you know, come on, let's just do this. I've been talking about this for 10 years already. Let's get on with this. And all of that is changing significantly since I let go of the sugar. And I'm telling you, the sugar has a program absolutely that goes with it. And part of that program is impatience. Part of that program is judgment. Part of the program is, it's literally, as George put it, he said, sugar is, it puts you into the artificial timeline. And so all of these things were, you know, kind of striking me, you know, kind of profoundly. But I've been thinking about timing, and like, it was very interesting. A friend of mine from Facebook, Heidi Cole, we were having a conversation, and she was like, you know, have you heard anything about, you know, Oregon or, you know, these, there was something happened. I guess it was, I think it was the Oregonite stuff, and Okay, here's one other thing I want to share with you guys. I literally feel like, okay, as the candida leaves my brain and the rest of my body, I have exchanged memory, short-term memory, which, by the way, I can tell you, I used to be very proud of my ability to memorize things, phone numbers, names, details, stories people would share with me. I'll be honest with you, as the candida leaves my brain, I am totally losing my memory. I can't remember shit, to be quite honest. And I was getting frustrated at that a little bit because it's just another crutch in the matrix that made me feel important and made me feel smart. And here's what I'm exchanging that for. Total awareness in the now. And go ahead.
Well, I just want to say this really quickly because you're going to go on forever and I'm going to forget.
No, I know. No, and I want you to speak. This is your first thing.
Because I'm
so much to share. We should make this a two-part show. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, you touched on something earlier, and we were talking about artificial intelligence and how it's not just cell phones. Artificial intelligence is a lot of things in our synthetic overlay.
Mm-hmm.
And so when on Facebook, Toberman brought up a really good point when I shared my organite receptor, and he said, well, because you just said earlier, I'm wanting to connect with my soul. And he was saying the same thing. He said, I want to do things that are soulful. Why am I doing organite? You know, like, okay, I get it. Yeah, I take some of this information in and I spit out, you know, whatever, basically. So
right.
This is something that I feel like that everybody wants to discuss. It's not about whether somebody is right or wrong. It's just about everybody coming to their own to being who they are, being and experience what they need to experience now. But then I think we also ought to address that. If we're going to say we're going to go on a soul level, but we're still buying earthen products and crystals and organite and all these things, for some people that's going to feel like a contradiction to that. So we need to explore what those things do to connect you back to the organic so that it doesn't feel to them like we're being hypocritical. Because I feel like that's what a lot of people are looking at when they hear one message and then another message, like, okay, well, yesterday we were saying you don't need to do anything, just be. Today we're saying...
Well, and I'll be honest with you, I agree with that, but it changes. The journey changes.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I feel like that instead of us, like, and I'm just saying, like, let's vocalize that and express that and allow people so we understand one another and we're not confusing each other. And so that the people that feel like we're, like if they feel like, well, yesterday Patricia said this, today she's saying that, what's going on? I just feel like we need to talk about why we feel that we want to use the organite or why we're using our earthing products and, you know, whatever, and just discuss that in an open way so that we all can learn from it.
No,
and
right on.
Understand it.
I love you, babe. So. Yes. I have no problem because, you know, when I first started checking into the candida, one of the things that the one of my beliefs has always been, you know, anybody that goes on a medication for life, you know, I hear about these all the time, whether it's cholesterol pills or blood pressure medicine, the doctors are prescribing it for life. And I can tell you, the judgment that comes out of me is just like, oh my God, I'm spewing lava like a volcano. And then I'm reading on the candida stuff, and the guy is explaining basically that, you know, you're probably going to be on probiotics for the rest of your life because the nature of the food that's being distributed, at least in America. You won't have a chance to get those good bacteria back in your GI tract. So you have to concede that you're going to be on probiotics for the rest of your life. And you know, I had to look at my own belief system, and I went, oh no, Goldie doesn't do anything for the rest of her life. Except, I mean, the only thing I was okay doing was eating cookies and candies for the rest of my life. but I'll be honest with you. Here's what I know today. Today, there's a choice I can have. I can let the candida run amok in my body, or I can take supplements. Which, again, I was told by a channeler back in, like, 96, your body can do everything on its own. Don't take supplements. And it totally resonated with me at the time. It was the Crimson Circle. Tobias said that, for people that are listening. Anyways, but here's what I know today. Today is there is a war going on in life, the Matrix versus the organic. And there's always, in every rule, there is always an exception. And it's funny because I was talking to somebody recently, and I was telling them that this is the lifetime, in my humble opinion, for those who feel that this is their last lifetime and that they're going to ascend into the fifth dimension and then, you know, essentially they've gathered all their pieces from the first, second, third, and fourth dimension, and they're moving on into the fifth dimension. So this is the lifetime that their soul is going to join them in their body. Because somebody said to me, this might have been David, I don't even know, but somebody said to me, how do you know that this is the lifetime your soul is going to join you? And it's like, well, it's the exception to the rule lifetime.
And well, David threw out a lot of stuff.
I think that was David that I was speaking to. And just so everybody knows, David is Patricia's husband. But so he was asking me, he goes, do you think every lifetime the soul comes into the body? And I'm like, no. I don't think the soul comes into the body when we're experiencing separation, because that's a contradiction. The soul is the unified field of who we are. It couldn't come into your body if you were experiencing, I'm not saying it's not connected to you, but it's not actually in your body, because that would inevitably end the game of separation.
Well,
it's only
going
to come into your body when it's time to end the game of separation.
Yeah, I was going to say to you that the reason that because he's asked that of me multiple times, but not in
okay.
He talked to you a little bit differently than he talked to me, but I guess, but I got what he was saying. For him, if you're the creator and if we're co-creators, then you cannot be in your creation, because anything within the creation he feels is finite, where if you're the creator, you're infinite, so you would be outside of the creation. So for him, you're projecting yourself, and your soul is always protected, because this is a projection. This is a hologram, not saying your experiences aren't real. Your experiences are real, your soul experience, and that your actual soul, he doesn't feel you're going to be connected to, and this is just where he is, your
okay.
soul you don't get connected to until you exit this reality. You're just, you're never away from your soul, but you're never you completely until you're done.
That makes sense,
okay.
But I would say that has a lot to do with the veil thinning. So, in other words, I'll speak for myself. I'm definitely becoming more aware of my multidimensionalness. And I think that in other words, the soul might not be fully in my body, but it's letting, maybe it was letting only a drip, a little drop of it, where now maybe it's opened a stream the size of a one inch pipe. You know what I'm saying?
But I think George nails it perfectly when he says, because I'm sharing you David's expression, you're sharing yours, and then I'm going to say I think George's expression nails it. Because I go back to the data mindset that I had when I think about projection, and it's fractals. So fractals of your essence, fractals of who you are, fractals are all in the universe and all these dimensions, but your soul, they're fractals of your soul. And I can't,
there you
that
go.
I can't explain exactly.
I agree.
But I get it. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me the most of everything that I've heard. That's why when he did that, I was thinking about strictly how networking and communication works, and I could see how fractals are projected and how there's always this one source that fractal comes from, but nothing can touch the source.
Right,
and
right.
So that's why I could relate to what he was saying. So when David was saying what he was saying to me, I couldn't get it at first because I kept thinking, well, wait a minute, he's saying that I'm not really here, but he wasn't. He was saying the same thing that George is saying in a different way. It's just the way he expresses himself, and you're saying it too.
Yeah. No, I was open to it. I liked that he posed the question because I liked thinking about it. You know, it doesn't – because I can tell you, you know, it's an amazing journey. I guess, you know, to put it in the languaging that you're using, I'm picking up fractals all over the place as I let go of artificial programs in my life. Because these addictions are artificial programs, and I promise you, they're not just affecting your body. I mean, it was affecting my thinking. It was affecting I remember speaking to Janine many, many moons ago, a couple of years ago, going, I've got a blind spot. And son of a bitch, I because it's a blind spot, I can't see what I'm missing. But my senses were telling me, you're missing something. And I couldn't figure out what it was. And now it's so clear that it was the sugar. The sugar is a blind spot that I would process my emotions differently because sugar would tell me, not necessarily in a verbal audio tone, but as a perception, that the sugar became a perception for me that, in all honesty, is just incorrect. It is not the organic. It is the artificial. And one of the definitions I have between the artificial and the organic is the artificial, it's all polarized. It's either right or wrong. There is no exceptions to rules. There are no bridging concepts.
Right.
There is, you know what I'm saying? It's either, you know, fuck them, you hate them, or you know, you're mad in love and you're obsessed.
Right.
Like, there's nothing in between.
I have to go back to something, too, because, and you, this may be so silly, but I was thinking about fractals and another way to put it.
Okay.
This may sound very silly, but I think this, to me it doesn't, but it may to everyone else. When you can't, when you're walking down the street, for example, it's concrete, you can't really see your footprint. You don't see where you walk the path, right?
Okay.
But let's say you're on the beach and you walk in the sand and you're walking and, there's all these, I was just thinking there's these like scriptural references to the footprints in the sand and stuff, but so you're walking on the beach and you can look back and you can see every step you walked backwards, but you're not there. But your energy is in that sand. Even if somebody comes behind you and they move the sand and you no longer see your footprint, you know you were there because you saw your footprint. Your energy was there. You can see it. And that's a fractal of being left behind.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not silly at all. Patricia, that's a great metaphor.
When we're saying we're fractals, I'm not there, but I was there. But I am there because I've already made the imprint.
Well, see, and here's the paradox, though. Here's the paradox of what you're saying, though. Because, see, the sugar kept me maybe keen in my memory, where I'm losing my memory, but I posted it on Facebook. It's like I don't necessarily have to know what I've been through to get to this now moment. I'm more focused on what's going on in this now moment. That's what I need to know right now, because it almost feels like, see, and I say this is a paradox because there's a level of surrender to, we all use the building blocks of the matrix because we've been indoctrinated into the matrix. This is what we grew up, you know, basically, forget being told, it's what we grew up using to make our choices in life, is matrix experiences, matrix, and it's not just sugar, it's, oh my God, I mean, the matrix has the religion, the whole idea of, like when Robert Plateter was on George's show and he goes, when he realized why he was using numbers, you know, why do I use numbers to decipher things, you know, and it's like, so, you know, I'm going to assume that my audience is pretty much aware of, you know, on some level, how the Matrix is in everything, from time to food to religion to education to science.
To money.
So, money, absolutely. Power,
everything. Yeah.
Everything. Mm-hmm. So what's so interesting is redefining that in your own personal life, because I agree with you that the fractals and the footsteps in the sand, that's a wonderful way to express that. But there's also, you know, a part of us, and I'm going to call it my soul, because that's what works for me. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know what's necessarily going on within in me. These are the labels I'm using because it's how I feel, but I don't know that it is necessarily my soul coming in.
Yeah, but, and we all express based on our own understanding and how we perceive things. So that's why I said when you're expressing yourself and you're saying what you're saying, and then I think about what George says and I listen to what David was saying, I'm like, okay, I'm listening to all three of you, and I understand George the most because he's speaking my language.
Exactly.
And what
I totally appreciate that. Yes.
But then I can bring all three of y'all, everything that the three of you have shared with me, and then I go, oh, they're saying the same thing. I have to reprogram.
Well, and he says that, right. That's because these are all etheric things. You know, these are not necessarily I think there's a language for them, but clearly the Matrix didn't teach us this language. So
right.
it's about sharing experiences, which are a lot to do with feelings, sensations, emotions. And
mm-hmm.
and clearly the Matrix has purposely not created words to share these experiences with, you know, because the Matrix is such a mind game. It's all about the left hemisphere of the brain. Forget the right. It's even just, you know, it's so limited and segregated. But it's powerful, and it's a very real part of our lives.
Well, it
because
facilitates experiences.
Pardon?
It facilitates
experiences, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because for me personally, I was more afraid of letting go of sugar than I'm finding actually letting go of sugar what I'm going through. It's like, you know, I mean, because, you know, one of the benefits that I've had as I redefine what's sweet in my life, I'm swimming 5 days a week now. I mean, I was swimming 2 days a week on a good week, maybe three times a week. Now I've got my energy is coming back, and I'm not doing it, you know, I have to go swimming because I'm going to eat a cookie if I don't go swimming. It's like, it's nothing like that. It's literally, hey, swimming feels great. I mean, I love being in the water. I love starting my day. It's a morning meditation for me. It's like I'm becoming aware of, again, this is my terminology, soulful experiences. I just don't seem to have, I don't have that blind spot anymore. It's like, I can see it, I can feel it, I can make it happen. I mean, and I'm only, you know, 5 weeks into this whole shift. I can't even imagine how this is going to extrapolate in my life. What soulful things are going to happen? But, you know, and it's funny because I'm not projecting myself into the future. That's another thing. Sugar absolutely has us projecting into time. Our goals are set by, I'll give it 3 months, you know, or it's got to happen by this date. I'm feeling completely different that the timing of my life, I have complete and utter trust in that through the timing of everyday experiences, whatever soulful events that are going to happen, I'm not going to miss them. I'll have complete awareness and I'll move through it. I mean, it just took such a burden of whether I can make this or not, whether I'm going to be successful in living the type of life that I've been talking about living. And I'm realizing that.
That's why I said to you one time, I said, after you had come on radio or internet and you had said, you're giving this up and whatever. I was like, you just put a bold statement out there because
yeah,
when you
no,
do
well,
that,
I'm a hard ass on myself. I am. I was, anyways. I should say I was a hard ass on myself. You know, and it's so funny because I believe that on some level, the soul knew this 2 years ago when it first told me to go. You know, my soul first goes. I'll never forget. I was sitting at the reservoir in the forest, looking at the water, and it was like I literally heard a voice inside me and went, "You need to be in the water." You know, and it's like, I need to be in the water. Now, I look at the water, and I have a phobia of water I can't see underneath my feet. And I'll be honest with you, I'm very curious to play around with that now that sugar is no longer part of the intel of my perspective. But so when it said you need to be in the water, it's like, I mean, I just kind of got up and, you know, was like, all right, I don't know how I'm going to make this happen. I was like, okay, YMCAs have pools and, you know, I got to figure out the finances, and I saved my money and my father helped me out, and one thing led to another, and the next thing I know is I'm swimming, and I loved it. But like I said, for like the first year, I was swimming 2, maybe 3 times a week, and I was like, oh, okay, that's enough. You know, it was my back, too. It helped my back.
Have you had a bad experience with water in this lifetime, or is this just a phobia that you were born with?
Jaws. The movie Jaws did it to me.
Okay. Well,
and it was quite effective.
I can't wait for you two to meet because he's crazy, and you're crazy.
Works for me.
I'm a Pisces. He's a Cancer. So
okay.
He's a crab and I'm a fish. And we both love water. But he has David literally has no fear. I've never had anyone in my life like him that has no fear. He'll go to the beach. And we went in January. We're going in 2 days for a week. And I'm so excited.
Nice.
But in January, we went for just a couple of days so that I could go in Earth. And he was, like, in the ocean when it was freezing cold because he's so connected. He doesn't understand how spiritual he is. He always tries to play it off like he's just robotic and he's following the Matrix, but he's got a lot of spirituality he just doesn't bring to light for some reason. He doesn't want to go there. Well, I know why.
Well, I think he's going there. It's just he's self-awareness. It's a game of self-awareness.
He's a lot of self-awareness.
Yeah.
But he's learned to dumb it down to cooperate with the Matrix because the Matrix really fucks with him a lot.
Well, and remember, I mean, we're still paying our bills through the Matrix. That's important to do. I mean, there's still reason to be in the Matrix. So I appreciate that in him. I do.
And I have to share, you know, what I was telling you I was going to share today after, you know, at some point when we're talking. But anyway, so not only that, he's obsessed. When he was a little kid, he really believed that he could be Spider-Man. So he went around, this is going to be horrible, but he went around killing spiders thinking he could get their web stuff out of them. And he was trying to do what he could so that he could become Spider-Man and swing across buildings.
Okay.
And when we went to the beach, and he was in his, you know, late 30s, this wasn't the last time, I look over, my husband is climbing the hotel.
Wow.
What are you doing? He goes, I'm Spider-Man. I said, you're crazy. And
wow.
I was like, what are you doing?
You even know, but there's something about that. There's something about you got to believe in it before it can happen. I mean, there's something to that.
He feels like he can't the one thing that I won't say he feels, he knows that if you believe something, you take on that belief, so that becomes your truth, and like the need for food. He doesn't feel like we all need food, but we believe we need food, therefore we have to have food.
I can agree with that. I mean, going through the food changes I'm going through, I can definitely – I'm not eating nowhere near like I – I mean, I'm significantly less food is going into my body, and I have increased my vitality. So,
I can tell you there was a time period where I'm just really funny about food. I'm not one of these people that I have to eat. He's like, I don't need food. He said, I just enjoy food. Like, I enjoy
it.
He's kind of like the guy.
Well, I used to say that, but I'll be honest with you. I enjoy food now more. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What?
I'm saying he's like the guy in the Matrix is chomping on the steak going.
Well, and I can appreciate, I mean, I used to say I enjoyed food, but I'll be honest with you, Candida enjoyed food in my body. I'm enjoying food from a much more, well, I mean, the truth is from a much more organic space. I mean, it's, I'm eating much more living being, essences. I'm quantumly entangling with my food where I was quantumly entangling with the artificial stuff and,
which is even
creepier
to me, though. Which is even creepier for me.
Well, it is. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I found it very ironic that I was watching for a long time, the 3 months, I was watching Stargate, the whole series. It had, 10 seasons. And I got up to season 9, and they started changing the characters. And I went, let me go check out Stargate Atlantis. And the irony of it was, in Stargate Atlantis, the bad guys are called the Wraith. And the Wraith are life force-sucking beings that live on hive ships that look like spiderweb Candida stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I swear to God, as soon as I started watching the series, I went, well, this is appropriate because I'm picking up, because the truth is I'm picking up wisdom about the Candida through this TV series. Because, see, that's timing in life. That's how timing works, where that kind of stuff happens to me all the time because everything is, like you said, a fractal of everything.
Right.
I just want to share one more thing, and then I want you to share on yours, and I'm hoping it'll be a good segue.
Okay.
Because I had a breakthrough, and I really want to share this experience because I've never had this before, so I'm excited to share it. I was driving from Scott's house to his mom's house, which is a 5-minute drive, and all of a sudden I got this overwhelming feeling, and I know this feeling. This is the feeling I get when I'm driving down a new road going to an apartment. Like, I've only moved out on my own. I'm 49. I've only moved out on my own 4 different times in my life where it was me paying the bills and, it was my apartment. I might have had roommates, but it was not a boyfriend-girlfriend situation. I've moved into guys' houses several times in my life, but there was a few occasions where I did it just myself, and it felt very independent and sovereign, and I felt very excited that there was a new chapter in my life. So the other day, I'm driving down the road, and that absolute feeling washed over me, and I was like, whoa. I had this total sense that I had a new chapter in my life, and I was like kind of laughing because I'm like, well, no, I didn't move out. And then it struck me that I didn't change where I was living to get a new sensation feeling. I changed the inside of me. I have changed so many beliefs because within the last year, I have essentially gone from taking care of kids to taking care of the elderly. I've essentially let go of my radio show and then came back to it in 2014, and my diet. And those three things literally created the same sensation that I normally get when I move into a new apartment. And I thought that was profound because I went, wow, that's shifting from the inside out. And I wanted
freedom.
To share that. It is freedom. You're absolutely right. You're because it's so funny. I don't quote-unquote make the money to live independently, but you don't need money to independently live on the inside.
And it doesn't matter. It's the change in the awareness of self. It's it's no different than when I got up the courage to leave my twin's father because he was abusing my children.
Yeah.
It wasn't that I was doing something so grand like in the, like if people would look at my life, it was that this fear that was in me that had a hold of me of like, I don't want to come from a broken family, my children to come from a broken family. I don't want this, I don't want that. But then I got that strength that to make this decision and go for it. I can remember I put Tom Petty on, I think it's Tom Petty, Free Falling, in that Tom Petty?
Yep. Yeah, that is, yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
I was squirting it, and I was so excited because it was just like I did it. I conquered something, and it doesn't matter if I didn't conquer anything great. I came out, I was a housewife, and I was begging for a job, and I ended up getting a job for like $7 an hour, and I was feeding my kids Little Caesar's pizza that were like $5 pizzas for a couple of months until I could do something else. You know what I'm saying? Like it was a gradual process, but eventually then I'm doing what I need to do, and I'm a successful business person raising my children
exactly.
differently. In my mind, now keep in mind, I'm still in the matrix, so when I say successful, people say, well, that's not successful, but it was to me at the time.
Right.
And
right.
So I'm just saying, like, when you're, it doesn't matter what it is, when you're experiencing that change in yourself, when you're seeing your inner strength, when you're experiencing your sovereignty, and you don't even
yep.
know it's your sovereignty, you're still experiencing it. And it's
and
just
that,
another level
that's
of
exactly
freedom.
What, I didn't even know it until that feeling washed over me, and it was like,
mm-hmm.
wow, you know, this didn't come from me physically moving my location. This came from me physically moving my inner location.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I now navigate from a different point of view, and it
mm-hmm.
feels the same as, and it was, I mean, I was like, wow. I just, I don't,
mm-hmm.
it just felt, you know, like, okay, you're walking, you're talking. I felt very much in integrity. It's like, because I'm always telling people, change is good. Get used to change. It's one of a belief system we should all incorporate, that the ability to change. When people, change is hard, that's a belief. Change is not hard.
But you also did a negative, to me, you did a negative takeaway on yourself when you said, but I'm still relying on, I still wasn't, you know, like financially free. You were promoting your sovereignty at one moment, and you saw it, and then you did the negative takeaway because you couldn't give yourself, and I'll do this too, you couldn't give yourself that positive moment without bringing the negative back to be humble, to not put your elevate yourself. But in that moment, you don't have to do that, and that's something I have to work on too, and I can say that to you because people say it to me.
No, you can totally
it.
Say
like,
it to me. And the truth is, though, I don't have an – it was more of an awareness that I, – because I would say to myself, you know, there were times when, you know, me and Scott would be fighting. I'd be fighting with my dad. Oh, I can tell you a perfect time. When I was starting to get into the parrots and I was,
mm-hmm.
you know, running around like a chicken with my head caught off. I mean, pardon the metaphor. Of course, I'm talking about the parrots. But I wanted to bring home a parrot, right? I wanted to foster a parrot. Scott said no. My dad said no. And I started at one point, Jeannie had, her husband had brought a bird in. So I was like, okay, if I want to bring a bird, I can move in with Jeannie, and then I can bring a bird. And, you know, a good friend of mine goes, literally said to me, you're going to move into the insane asylum? Because, I mean, in all honesty, taking care of the elderly as opposed to taking care of children is a completely different ball game. I mean,
uh-huh.
Jeannie pushes every button I have. It is no joke. Like, for 25 years I took care of kids, and I would say in 25 years I had, no lie, about 4 disagreements with my kids. All of my kids.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when you're taking care of infants, there are no disagreements. You know, taking care of the elderly has been a completely different experience for me, and I can feel it. There are archetypical situations I'm living out with Jeannie that I would have lived out with my mother if she was still around. So I understand that it's archetypes, because I could feel my life creating the situation where it wasn't giving me infants to take care of, and that when the situation came up from a financial point of view, I was like, I need the money. And I told Scott, and you need somebody to take care of your mother. I mean, it's not that I can't do it. I know how to do it. But from an emotional standpoint, this is the most challenging job I've had in my entire career, because I don't come home every day feeling, you know, joy and excitement that I've been coloring or, you know, they have
right.
an aha moment. I mean, I'm coming home going, damn, man, it's like being in war with that woman.
Because,
and it's been,
yeah, but because, think about this. She's
okay.
at war with you, too. She is an adult woman. She has
absolutely.
Raised a family, and you are wiping her ass. And she knows she needs you, and she's humiliated by it.
I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. This
too.
Is a game of pride, and it's from both
yeah.
of us. We both, because I have to let go of control, and she has to let go of control. And
exactly.
and I'm going to say, there are moments we have, you know, but again, it's like to have
love,
that feeling. What? What?
It's the interactions are love-hate because it's hard.
Absolutely.
I mean,
well, and see,
hate,
that's the matrix,
hate,
isn't it? Love, hate,
yeah.
man. That's there. It
yeah.
is. So, no, definitely. But so when I got that feeling wash over me, because, you know, at that point when I was, like I said, this came up from the bird. So I couldn't get a bird. You know, I wanted to bring a bird home, quote, unquote, everybody who I lived with, nobody would let me bring a bird home. Pissed me off, man. I was like, God damn it, I wish I made enough money so I could have my own apartment. If I want to bring a bird home, I'll bring a bird home. And so that is when I share that, you know, money is an illusionary way to get our freedom because, in all honesty, not being able to bring the bird home and working through these emotional archetypes is way more fundamental to my journey than bringing a bird home. Way.
Unless you're working out a relationship with the birds. I mean,
well, if
you don't.
and that might come up, you know, I mean, you know, at some point, you know, my father will pass on and I will inherit a ton of money and I can have my own place and get a bird. So it's not like that can't be a part of my life, but the bottom line is for the moment, and I think that has a lot to do, the organic will show up right at our doorstep. I think there's a willingness of whether we're willing to look at what shows up or again, there's the control. Or do we have to control the situation and, you know, because I could have moved in with Jeannie. But when my friend said, are you going to move into the insane asylum, I realized that I was just so singly focused on, I want a bird, I want a bird, I want a bird, that when I looked at the situation, it was like, I don't think I want to live with Jeannie. That I don't have to think about that long. I don't want to live with Jeannie. I'm happy to go over there a couple hours a day and help her out. But, no, I don't want to live over there. Are you kidding me? But I could feel it where my mind was just like, I was talking about rearranging my entire life to get what I wanted. And in all honesty, letting go of the sugar, I realized, well, how much of that was really authentically me? And, you know, in all honesty, not a whole lot. It was.
Well, and you wouldn't want to give up that much of yourself, you know,
not
either.
At this point in time, not even close. Not
I mean, I took care of my twin's great-grandmother, and I didn't even know her. She was here from Vietnam, and she had adopted my twin's grandmother, and my twin's grandmother resented when she found out, instead of appreciating it, she resented that she had been adopted and didn't know. But the woman didn't want to destroy who she was. She was a very sweet lady. But when I started taking care of her, she didn't speak a bit of English, and I didn't speak a bit of Vietnamese. And I was trying to help her. She got meningitis, and she was telling everybody I was trying to kill her. I mean, she literally thought when I was bathing her and stuff because it hurt, her skin was fragile and stuff like that, I took her in when nobody else would take her. She wasn't even someone that I knew. I just had compassion for her.
Mm.
And she didn't want to be anywhere near me because she thought I was trying to kill her. She was going through a lot of, you know, health issues, and she didn't know
yeah.
me. And so that was definitely an act where there was nothing in it for me. You know what I mean? It was just like, it was something else.
Oh, there's always something in it for self. No, don't say that. There's always something. But not the obvious. It might not be the obvious.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, in that moment, it was like I wasn't doing this because there was some reward that I could see. I really felt compassionate towards her.
Right.
And so, but it was, but now looking back, and you know, I'm thinking this woman was terrified. She was terrified, but it also showed, it showed me something about me. It showed me something about the elderly. It showed me, it taught me a lot. At the time, and it felt like, I'm sitting here and I'm trying to do this, and I'm, no one appreciates me. I've got everybody, you know, saying, what did you do to her? She said you tried to kill her. I gave her
Jeannie's made a few of those phone calls for me, too, and I'll tell you, it's bizarre. It's so, like, it's such a different experience for me than the nannying, you know, and it's like, you know, and what it ultimately comes down to is, hey, listen, I surrender. I'm not going to defend myself. Listen, I know. Because Jeannie will say to me, are you going to hit me? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to hit you. I was like, but I will scream from here to next week. Because, you know, that's how me and my family, because I've never screamed at my kids like I scream at Jeannie, but my kids didn't push the buttons the way she does. And like I said, it's archetypical. I when me and Jeannie are having our good moments, I say to her, I go, my family, we didn't hit in my family. We're Jews from Brooklyn, New York. We scream. I go, but and Jeannie's definitely one of those families. Scott, her, you know, I'm learning so much about her son by taking care of the mother. Boy, the apple don't roll far. That is so true. But you know, I see that, you know, how, you know, raising my voice, and I'll be honest with you, I think people can feel it even through the radio. I have a lot of energy just in my voice. It doesn't take nothing to get me, you know, I can be passionate, you know, because I think what a lot of people forget, anger is passion. I mean, I'm a passionate person, whether I'm angry, and it's funny, I used to be passionate in my lovemaking, not so much anymore, even though I've also read that that's a candida side effect, that your libido goes down. So who knows, that might come back. Either way, I'm cool with it either way. But I'm passionate about my beliefs. I'm passionate about speaking my truth, which, like you were just saying earlier, is changing every day. I mean, I can't, you know, there's just so much about this journey that ultimately, it doesn't come with, you know, the pretty little picture. Like I'm not learning about myself because things are going quote unquote well. I'm learning about myself because I'm not getting what I want. You know, that Hayoki stuff. You know, you learn from a backwards perspective. You know, it's like I didn't get the bird, but I got something, you know, even deeper. I got that feeling that I made a shift in my life. You know, it's like I committed to something. I committed to Jeannie, which absolutely helped me commit to my relationship to Scott, which absolutely helps me commit to my understanding of relationships in general, which helps me understand my relationship with sugar. It's like, here's a metaphor, everything's feeding everything else, and I've been somewhat of a brat my entire life, and so not getting my way is actually, it's a huge gift that life is not giving me my way, and I'm learning to shift and work into understanding that the divinity isn't about, you know, what I thought I wanted. The divinity is about what is actually taking place here. And one more thing, and then I want you to share, is one thing I notice is, no, and this is for everybody, when we're in those spaces of, you know, the mind is just reeling with depressive thoughts or anxiety, fear, underneath it all, again, these are my words, the soul is still at work. You could not go off your path. Even if I decided to move in with Jeannie and get the bird, that's still on path. It's like the soul isn't so limited that it's path A or path B. The soul will work with you whatever the choices you choose to make happen in your life. I was just happy that I figured out early that I could let go of this driving longing that I wanted a bird. Because my whole thing about wanting a bird was about, I don't have children, and birds live for 100 years, so I want to pour my love into this bird because I don't have kids. And, you know, looking back at that now, I go, what the hell were you thinking, Goldie? Like, I'm 49 years old. I'm just getting my body back in alignment. Taking care of a bird would have been kicking my ass, and ultimately what I probably would have had to do is surrender it, which would have really fucked up the bird's life. You know, it's like...
Well, you said something about, you said your whole life you were basically a spoiled
brat. Oh.
Okay, well, I want to say this to you. Then the person that, see, I always have, I don't know how I do this, but I do.
Okay.
It's just, I feel like I have lived 10 lifetimes or more in one lifetime, but I get both sides so clearly.
Yeah.
You haven't, like people say, well, this child, and I'm not talking about money, I'm going to throw this out. Well, this child was born in Silver Spoon. Well, this child was given so much love and attention, and they were sheltered from the world. And either way, no matter how you term it or how you perceive it, somebody put you in that brat category. Now, the opposite of that is I wasn't spoiled. I wasn't allowed freedom. I wasn't a brat as a child. And on any level, flip it, as an adult, I was a brat because I got my way, because I took control, and it was my way or the highway because I've been controlled as a kid. It doesn't work. Like, you're not a brat alone. We all go through that.
Right. No, I appreciate that.
Differently.
No, indeed. See, and I appreciate you saying that because, see, the ultimate lesson for me was about surrender, because you're exactly right. I wasn't a brat. My mother didn't spoil me as much as she just let me do whatever I wanted to do. And what I wanted to do was my way. I have lived life most of all my way. And I'm not trying to sound like Frank Sinatra here, but it's the truth. I've done things my way because I'm stubborn like that. It's like, first of all, I know what works for me. In my 20s, being, you know, raised in a Jewish household, we were all expected to go, you know, to college and make lots of money, you know, and I was graduating high school by the skin of my teeth. By the time I got done, it was like, you know, you're going on to college. It was like, hell no, get me a job. Get me the fuck out of this school system. All I knew was the school system was bogus and I wanted nothing to do with it. And, of course, later on in life, I ended up going to college when I found my vocation, which was the children, started making money. But, you know, I wasn't making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year like was all expected for me to do. But I was every day going to work going, I love my job. I love it, you know, and I'm happy going home to my parents' house. I live with my parents, and I'm cool with that. You guys pay the bills. I'll have a job I love. Life is good. But I lost my train of thought. Shit. What the hell? Oh, the brat part. For me, in later part of life, because I have such a strong sense that I can bulldoze people. I mean, on some level, I think you felt it when we quantumly connected and you felt my cravings. I'm not even doing it with intention. I think there's just something in my energy that is... It's a big, fearful energy field. I don't know why that is per se, but I've come to accept that it is.
I do the same thing because until recently, until the last couple of years, everyone around me has always said you're intimidating. When someone would say I'm intimidated,
exactly.
I'm like, what?
Exactly. That's the word.
I don't feel intimidated.
Yeah, well, and what's so funny is for me, on the inside, I was always so insecure. So I used to laugh and go, my intimidation is really just a front.
Yeah, exactly.
But the truth is, it's not a front. It's a presence. And you do have it, Patricia. Yes.
I think the presence is also that you actually are more aware of who you are than most people. So I just remember I had this one guy specifically, and when he said it to me, I didn't understand it. He goes, you just don't know how you are. I mean, I did know this about myself, but I didn't really think about it until he said it. He's like, you just don't understand. He said, you just walk in and out of people's lives like it's no big deal.
Yeah, exactly. I do the same thing. Yes.
And I wasn't walking in and out of people's lives like it was no big deal. I knew when it was time to go. Like, I knew.
That's how I read it. I agree.
But I didn't understand what I was leaving behind, like what they were experiencing.
Right.
And no one, and I haven't, as an adult, I haven't experienced, except from one relationship where we both were in agreement that we couldn't make our relationship work. We both understood that. I haven't had somebody walk away from me.
Yeah.
I've always been the one that walked away, but I never walked away to be mean. I walked away because it was just done. It's kind of like when you say, okay, well, the energy's done. You know the energy's done.
Yeah.
But it's like I said, I've spent my whole life making decisions, experiencing things that I wasn't really aware of until listening to George and starting to process everything to where I understood myself.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like that there's a lot of things that we're going through, and we're declaring our sovereignty every day without even knowing that.
Well, yes. And I believe because that's what I mean by the soul is kind of always playing its harmony, so to speak, underneath everything, because it's bringing us these challenges. What I love is instead of the challenge being taking care of the bird and the physical world, the challenge for me became, once again, can you live without the desire you want? And not just live without it and pine for it. Can you find the beauty in not getting what you want? I have learned as I've gone through life that because I'm such a headstrong and emphasis on the head, when I don't get my way, I really do understand that there's a beauty to that, and it's just a matter of me, you know, putting on that skin of not getting what I want. When I left the radio show last year, that was a huge experience of that. I mean, leaving the radio show was one of the hardest relationships I've ever left, because it wasn't just the intimacy of, you know, a guy, so to speak, in a relationship. I've left those relationships tons of times. This was, I had to walk away from my passion, you know, and I was walking away from, we were a success at the time that I walked away. But you know, I reached a point in time, and, you know, next week when we do the one-year reunion show, you know, I'll give more details on this. But what it taught me and what it's still teaching me is the ability to walk away from things that, because my feelings went, it's time to go. It's as simple as that. And once I walked away and I had a perspective of not being there, I realized how distorted I was in the whole relationship. It was nothing like I thought it was when I was in it. But I had to kind of disconnect myself from it to truly see. And what it does is it becomes a template. Because, like you were saying earlier, this lifetime, I mean, particular where we're living, 2014, right here, right now, for all of us, there is the beauty in getting what we want for some people who have, you know, the people who say, I never get what I want. Okay, so then I think for them it's learning to accept and to receive.
No, I think that person is in victimhood because
– Agreed.
People that are sitting around and everything that they think about is, I don't have money, I don't have this, I don't have that, these people have this. They don't want it. They don't have it because they don't want it. If they wanted it, they'd go make it happen.
Well, I don't think it's about wanting. I think they don't understand the dynamic of life itself that, you know, they don't understand that underneath there's a fear maybe to have it. Or, in other words, people that just sit at the surface of life and go, oh, I don't have this because my parents didn't give it to me. And, you know, I mean, I've had people who are in their 50s and 60s still blaming their parents for why their life is miserable. And I'm like, you know, at some point in time, you might want to, you know, drop down a notch and go into your own experience. And who, they don't even know who they are, because that's that
right.
Matrix, you know. And the matrix will happily keep them in the shallow end of the pool, happily.
I feel like it's the same thing when it comes to, like, religion and politics and stuff like that. I feel like people blame the government, but then they want to take money from the government. Or people blame politicians, and then they go vote for them. I'm like, what are you doing?
I agree.
Be authentic to yourself. Make, you know, if your truth is that the government sucks, don't take income from them. Don't, you know, cooperate with the system. If you don't think that politicians are, you know, worthy, well, I mean, why are you focusing your energy on it?
I believe they're not focusing they're focusing their energy on that because they're not going within. I can't tell you, nothing has changed my life more than looking inside of myself and being willing to see the truth of, you know, what's motivating me, or I have a blind spot. As well as being willing to admit, you know, that I ate cookies, cakes, and candies for you know, 35 years. And I'm talking, I didn't eat a little bit of cookies, cakes, and candies. I was living on a diet of cookies, cakes, and candies.
I don't even know how that's possible. When you say that to me, like I told you, I had a friend that lived off Skittles, and I would watch her. She looked anorexic and whatever. She would, like, eat, like, 3 Skittles at a time, and she would just,
yeah.
like, they were – world tour, and I'm like, how do you do this? She didn't want real food. She wanted candy all the time, and I'm like,
I could feel some people judging me for that, just like they used to judge me for the cigarettes. You know, I mean, I remember somebody saying, you'll never ascend, you smoke cigarettes, and I'm like, watch me.
Oh, I didn't even know about ascension back then.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, I'm realizing how much, even at that level, I didn't want to go into my pain. I was talking about going into my pain, but on a lot of ways, I was avoiding.
Goldie. Hello. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got cut off somehow.
We did get cut off. Yeah, thank you, Janine. Janine goes, don't hear Goldie. Okay, can you guys hear me now? Somebody type in the chat room if you guys can hear me. You should. Wow, that's never happened before. What the hell was I talking about? I don't even know what the hell I was talking about. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Janine. Wow. All right, listen, though. God bless it. Patricia, I want to make sure you have time to share what you want to hear, want to share. So the floor is yours. I am your ever, ever consoling host to talk about whatever you want to share with.
Well, the one thing I wanted to touch on before we run out of time is, like, the artificial intelligence things that I had other things to share, but maybe we'll do it another time. And
sounds good. It's one way to keep you coming back. I won't let you talk about the things you want to talk about. I'm joking, babe. Good.
But stuff that I know is on people's minds. With all this artificial intelligence and everybody being so fearful of it,
okay.
I wanted to share an experience that I personally had when I was in telecommunications.
Okay.
And I think it will help, I'm hoping it will help people anyway, in processing the information. When Y2K came around, I'm getting a text, sorry.
Okay.
When Y2K,
speaking of artificial intelligence.
Exactly. everybody was terrified. Oh, my gosh. You know, there was this whole thing about the end of the world coming and all these different issues. And computers are gonna crash. Phones are going to crash.
Banking's going to go down.
Banking's
I remember that was
down,
a big fear.
The whole deal. Okay, yep. Well, I went to something that's called Comdex, and it's a big telecommunications data rollout that happens every year for people that are in the industry so that they can promote their products, so that you can go through training classes and learn all the different things that you need to know about your products.
Okay.
And, okay, so I'm sitting here and I'm in sales, and I'm being told, okay, you need to contact every client that you have. Let them know that there's a potential for their products to know what their computer system could crash, their phone systems could crash, because it's a clocking issue. It all had to do with, like, a clocking issue within the programming of the computers. And even a business telephone system has a computer brain.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, you know, and that kind of stressed me out because when someone would buy something, I would think, well, how are you going to go back and tell them later that what they have may crash and that's how they function? I mean, think about hospitals.
Okay.
Think about police stations. Think about the things that would be like critical to people, even your banking and stuff.
Right.
And I did have bank clients. I had a hospital. I had doctor's offices. I had police stations, school systems, all that. Courthouses were all my clients. And so I go and I'm talking with a guy that is the CEO of Cisco, Cisco is like the biggest provider of like routers and processing of information for, you know, data and communications. And we're all sitting around a table and he says, listen, he said, this was designed by Bill Gates from Microsoft back in whatever year. This was a known thing. It was done intentionally to create the hype because what happens in anything that's electronic is that there always has to be something that comes along next that creates a fear and a motivator for people to go and spend their money. Because technology, and he was like, any technology that you need to have already exists. It's not about whether or not your system's going to crash. It's about rolling this out in cycles.
Mm.
Because we have to create the fear so that we can bring on the next level of new electronics.
Okay.
People are like, yeah. So everybody's thinking, hell yeah, I'm getting paid. Oh, God, you know, they're thinking about all these customers now that are going to have to go and upgrade their systems. Because now here's the thing that's a little like a cloth, I guess, or a caveat.
Okay.
Not everything was set up that way. Some systems may crash. Most will not. But the fear that the systems will crash will cause people to upgrade or replace. So we're all going to make a lot of money.
Right.
I can't, as a hospital, take a chance that it might.
Right.
I can't, everybody,
which is why it costs $600 for an aspirin at a hospital, by the way, because where do you think that money is? They're funneling it down to the patients.
Yeah, so all these people are going back to their clients after that show, and everybody's bringing in all these big sales, because they're like, well, you know, Y2K is coming, your system's going to crash, you're going to have this. I'm getting brought into the office, and I'm getting reprimanded. Patricia, where are your sales? Well, I was still meeting my quota. I wasn't not meeting my quota.
Right.
I wasn't promoting Y2K.
And
so everybody else is doing like these big transactions, and I'm not, because my clients are calling me, and they're like, well, what do we need to do? I said, look, in reality, this is not even an issue. This is something that's just could happen or whatever, and they're like, well, how do we know? I'm like, well, you've got a battery backup. Your battery backup's going to run.
Right.
If anything happens, we have a two-hour response time, so if anything were to occur, we have to be there within 2 hours. You paid for that.
That's
in their contract.
Yeah.
So if anything happens, we're legally obligated to be on the premise within 2 hours.
So let me ask you this. How do you equate that wisdom in today, 2014?
What I would say is that when you're saying all these things, if you think that I was not going to be chipped, not because I was scared of being chipped. I wasn't going to give my power away.
Mm.
And it was kind of like I wasn't going to just go, okay, I'll let you chip me. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, you know, the barcode that we've been using since the 90s already has the mark of the beast in it. It's got 666 all through the barcode. That's the primary base number system in it. We talked about that even in telecommunications.
Yep.
You know, people are like, I feel like I'm part of the Antichrist system. And I'm like, yeah, I know. We are.
Because you are.
And
we all are. Shit.
But you've already got nanotechnology. You've got RFID dust that's sprinkled in Walmart so they can identify, you know, shoplifters and, you know, people that come in. They know who you are.
Hmm.
They know everything you do. When they say there's a plane missing, are you kidding me?
Right? I hear my father on the phone talking to all his IBM friends and, you know, and I just hear him fall into the whole, the whole emotional trap.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it wasn't a devastating situation, but it just got, it's not a conspiracy, but it would be to them. It's got conspiracy written all over it where, you know, I mean, I don't know who was on the plane. I don't know the details of, you know, what was happening. But, you know, it's like, I don't think people recognize, like for me, investigating this Orgon and Orgonite stuff lately, I'm clearly seeing, like, the story that Robert Plateter shared about when they took out a tower, you know, where he lived, and then it rained for 3 days. And then 3 days later, there was a bigger tower, and that he believed that there was a time. They did something with time because it was set in concrete, and, you know, it had all the wiring set up. And, you know, it's like the people that
They do things with time because I've experienced it, and I know it. There's just certain things that have occurred in my life where I know that time is missing.
Okay.
And so it doesn't matter to me if somebody believes it or not. I know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Pattern.
Yes.
And so yes, absolutely they do. But
well, and I'll be honest with you. I have a sense. I know it's happening as well. I'm not sure where it's happening in my life, but I have a feeling it has something to do with, for me, like I said, the sugar. And that blind spot where I'm not aware of time, you know, my senses are dulled, and my natural abilities to see this kind of situation take place, I say this because I'm in contact with Robert right now. He's hooking my dad's house up and Jeannie's house up with there'll be Orgonite. Personal Orgonite kits that he's making for us, and he's requiring a lot of information: how many TVs, where we're located, if we use our microwave, and as I'm going through this, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to doing some tower busting. You know, I've started to notice the towers in my area. I have three towers that I know of.
The reason that I have Orgonite is because David sent me out like in 2007 or whatever. To go look at all the stuff, and I kept blowing them off, and I was just like, whatever. And I've got the Orgonite, and he was telling me about the towers and stuff. So when I was telling him about what we were listening to, he was like, oh, the cloud busting? I've known that
for
a long time. Goes,
I'm going to build a cloud buster. You know, I'm going to build one.
Okay, so then he goes to me, so are you really cloud busting, or do you just think you're cloud busting?
As a question to, because you got to ask yourself, see, because here's the bottom line. I don't know if I'm affected by chemtrails or not because the sugar dulled my ability to know this stuff. I don't know. I know I have a confidence in myself that, I like what he said, that the Orgonite is ultimately a crutch and you can do this straight from consciousness. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
That's where I wanted to go with it. I want to say he was saying to me, well, do you know that it's cloud busting, that you're really cloud busting, or do you just think you are? Is the matrix, when you say, okay, I'm cloud busting, and they're going, they're cloud busting. Okay, what's the difference in that and the God entity, where they're saying, well, let them think they're cloud busting. Go ahead. will change right. the things in the environment, and now they think it's all good. And I'm like, well, then why are you wearing your organ? Huh? Why are you wearing it?
Well, you know, and I think it's important, though, for all of us. You got to, because for me, this, I'm enjoying, there's two things I'm enjoying about the organite. A, it does seem to have the appearance of being a technology, which I'm open to. I have earthing sheets, you know, like we talked about earlier. I'm open to using a technology, including the yeast control, to help bring more organic into my experience. That's my goal, to bring more organic into my experience. But
let's go with George's.
Okay.
And he says, you don't need DMT. You don't need, what's that? It starts with a K that all these healing that they do.
Kundalini.
No, there's another one. What's the other one? It's real popular right now from what I've seen.
It's a substance
No, it's like a process. Some kind. It starts with a K. Whatever. I don't get into all that. So anyway, so let's go. And so now I'm earthing, and we're doing all these things. And George says, just go within your heart. Let me tell you why I'm going to support what you're saying.
Okay.
Because George has the awareness. He's gone into his heart. He remembers. He knows all these things about his journey that I don't know right now. So
right.
If I don't know it, I can't experience the way that he's experiencing it. So I'm not going to judge the person that's trying to do the healing processes, whether they use crystal, whether they do earthen, whether they're using organite, whatever it is they're doing, it's their experience, it's their process.
Yeah, I agree.
So you're still, everybody's still trying to go back to their authentic heart essence, soul self, but we're all at different places. So, you know, that's why I say, like, I can't get to where I have tried. I have sat in the dark. I've worn a mask. I've poured out myself to my heart. Show me my higher self. I've done all these things, and I get experiences, no doubt. But I
right.
don't see what George sees, or I don't see what you see, or what David sees, or what other people see. You know, I mean, we don't get these same experiences because we're all doing our own journey.
I agree.
So if I'm doing my own journey, then I can't just be so closed. Like, I can't say, I'm just going to go from my heart. I'm just going to go from the soul.
You can say that for yourself. You can say that, but you can't say it for, you know, in other words.
For everybody. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right.
I mean, because for me, like I said, there's two things that I'm excited about. One, I'm excited to have a technology, because I have felt somewhat, I won't call it helpless, but mm-hmm. I've basically been like, all right, listen, the world is just, you know, it's pathetic out there. It's so bad. I'm just going to focus on the inside of me, because that's the message I got to do. It's like, just focus on yourself and let hell in a handbasket happen to the rest of the world. But now I've had a breakthrough in service to self, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, this organite, because I do believe I can do this without the organite, but I don't have to do it without the organite. I have people in my field, Scott, my dad, Jeannie, that we're in these spaces. I want to bring the organite in. First of all, I want to see how my plants respond to the organite. I want to see how Dakini, my cat, responds to the organite, how the people in my life respond, and including myself, because, you know, I'm in a new space that I don't even know if the chemtrails did affect me, because, I mean, I don't see chemtrails a lot in Norwalk, Connecticut. It was so – that's what me and Heidi Cole were talking about.
Get chemtrails every day, all the time.
But it was funny because I had one weekend, I was in the woods thinking about it. I was looking up in the sky going, we don't really get chemtrails in Norwalk, Connecticut, where I live. I mean, we just don't. The following day.
If they're above your cloud, you wouldn't know.
I know a chemtrail, but they got to spray the stuff. I don't see them spraying. No, but that all changed. Actually, not the following day. 2 days later, I'm driving home from Scott's in Stratford, And son of a bitch, there's a guy spraying chemtrails. And I said to myself, I laughed, and I go, see, that's because you thought about it, Colby. You
right.
thought about it. And then I was looking up at the plane, and I was, you know, at first I was like, you fucker, stop it. I mean, I was really just letting anger out. And then mm-hmm. when I got home, I was like, all right, sit with this, Goldie, sit with this. Are you angry? Are you afraid? What is it? And I was like, okay, I'm both. I'm angry and I'm afraid because I have never seen chemtrails in my area. And I'm telling you, I'm outside a lot. It's not like, you know, some people who, you know, they go from their house to the car, to the office, to the car, to the back to their house. I mean, I'm in the forest a lot. We did not have them around here. And I figure it's because of all the money around here. And, you know, but clearly that's out the window because I saw them. So then I'm like, okay, you know, well, I don't know what I'm feeling. I'm just going to keep feeling it. And I was feeling, like I said, an array of emotions. Anger and fear were definitely two of the top two. The following day, me and Heidi Cole are talking, and she goes, you know, what do you know about chemtrails? And I'm like, well, you know, it's funny you mention that. See, this is where I say timing. See, all of a sudden, it came into my field of awareness. The timing of I said it in the forest, I see it in the sky. Heidi asked me, she goes, do you know anything about it? I said, no, but I'll keep my quote-unquote hawk eyes open. If I hear anything or see anything, I'll send it to you in Facebook. Like 2 days after that, George comes out with his Super Woo podcast. And I went, and there it is. You know, it was like, it just so clearly unfolded from literally like the start of me saying it in the forest, seeing it, talking about it, now hearing about the solutions to them. And it wasn't just the solution that it was just organite. I mean, both George and Robert were so succinctly going, this is what we use until we know we can do it consciously in our own being. And it's like, because I do believe it's a journey to build the confidence that we have to know that there's magic in, here's the irony, organite is resin, which is essentially plastic, and metal shavings.
It's
I mean,
part
like,
of the earth. It's part of the earth. So if it's part of the earth, it's no different. To me, it's no different than earthing because it's a natural part of your environment. One of the things I want to say to you is that with the chemtrails, when you do wear the organite,
okay.
Somebody asked me on Facebook, how do you feel? It's not really about how you feel. It's not like you feel like you get some kind of special powers or energy or anything like that. You're just
clear.
I'm saying you're like when people are sick around you and stuff. You're not having sinus issues. You're not having allergies. You're not having flu symptoms because you're not susceptible to the things that are in the chemtrails and stuff they're putting into the water. Also,
okay.
There is something.
Okay.
There, yeah, and so there is something.
Well, no, that's interesting because I'm already experiencing that. You know, I've been around, you know, I'm a nanny. I've been around snot-nosed kids for years, and I don't get sick from that. I mean, I'm not saying I don't get sick, but I don't get sick from touching other people's sickness. Because I can remember one job I took as a nanny, the husband had AIDS. And, you know, I thought about it, you know, before I took the job, and I went, no, this is something I want to experience. And, you know, most people think you're crazy when you say that, but no, I wanted to experience being in the environment. And, you know, the mother would do his sheets every morning saturated in blood. And, you know, it was an emotional job. He actually died, and once he died, they let me go because they wanted to move. They weren't going to stay in Connecticut anymore. And I was like, oh, you know, all right. And on we go, you know. But I want to say one other thing about the organite, because the second thing that organite is actually bringing into my awareness, which I'm excited about, and note my words, I'm excited about this, is the fear of helicopters coming over and the fear of the Matrix recognizing me flying above the radar. Because I have intentionally flown under the radar my entire life, and
you can't expose the truth and fly under the radar. It's what I was trying to.
I wasn't doing anything to the people I'm talking to on my radio shows. wasn't enough. The Matrix has never hounded me. That's why it's funny that this is the show. This is the first show I've ever, I mean, we got dropped. The call got dropped earlier in the show. That doesn't happen to me in my other shows, because I think The Matrix looks at me and goes, most of the people that listen to the kind of shares that I share, which is, you know, dance with your shadow side and integrate your pain and feel all this, The Matrix goes, oh, we're not worried about people that talk like that. They're going to be worried when people actually do it, but they're not worried about people talking about that. What are they worried about? If we take out towers, they're going to be worried. You know, they're noticing. I don't know if they're worried, but they're noticing that. They're going to notice when and you know, I'm excited to challenge that aspect of myself, because it's an aspect of myself that I'm challenging. And it's the aspect of, will you go against authority? And it's not that I haven't done things against authority. It's just I have laid low for many – since I've laid low for many years.
Goldie.
Yes.
I want to say something.
I know. I'm processing literally live on the moment with you, because this is – I am afraid of this. I am.
Well,
so.
I'll tell you, though.
Okay.
When David was out, we for 2 years we spent out of pocket our own money creating CDs and DVDs. We were exposing the truth about chemtrails, about everything that you and I have talked about in every conversation.
Okay, I didn't know that.
A guy
okay.
in the black suit, the typical,
yep,
the men in black, walked up to him in a Walmart and said, "If you continue this, you can be charged with inciting a riot."
Oh, wow.
And I can't remember how David responded, but I remember that David said that he knew that this was a serious thing. He acted to the person like he wasn't afraid, but I can't remember the words he used. I'll get him to share it with you privately.
Okay.
Anyway, he just got in his car and left. But he said he walked around the parking lot and acted like he didn't know where his car was, because he was trying to lose this person. Of course, at that time, and I guess in his mind, he thought he could lose the person. But
right.
The person would know. I mean, if he's showing up because you're there to tell you that you could be charged with inciting a riot.
Yeah.
Then he's there for you specifically, so you're not really hiding, you know.
Well, right, he knows where you are is what the message
he knows
is.
Where
so
you
what
are.
Did he do? What was it? Did he stop? Did you guys stop doing whatever it was that you were
he
doing,
did
you
not,
know.
No, he didn't stop. But he didn't stop until we came to where we are today with our awareness. We continued to want that. Didn't really, he just wanted to get away from that situation in that moment.
Okay.
And but I was going to say to you is, when he talked to you, the reason he won't go on the internet and speak.
Okay.
It's not because it's not that he's afraid. It's that he has been challenged over and over and over again in the Matrix, and he says to me, like, okay, David does to earn a living. He's a trader, a stock trader. And
okay.
So most people are like, oh my gosh, he's in the stock market. And they think that he was, you know, whatever. Well, you know, because he shared a story with you why he does the things that he does to earn his income.
Right.
And so he does that. He also makes money on the Bitcoins. He's making over $100 a day right now doing Bitcoin, manufacturing
okay.
Bitcoins.
Okay.
Well, as soon as he talked with you, our car broke down. We're getting ready to go out of town.
Huh.
Every freaking power supply that he had that's operating those Bitcoins went down. He had a shipment that was supposed to be sent here for additional computers that never, for some reason, there was an error in the system and they didn't get sent. So he can't have them come now because we're going to be out of town. So it was just like systematically everything that he has done to sustain our household was just being attacked. Bam,
wow.
Bam, bam.
That's yeah.
For him, because he's limited on how he can make a living. He has to, everything has to work the way that he creates it for it to sustain itself.
Well, and it's also, it's all the Matrix. I mean, that is where they have the pull.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
So for him, he was just like, he's like, look, he said, he came in and I saw his face and he goes, this has happened. You know, he was just going one after one after one, you know, just tell me everything that was
yeah.
going on.
Yeah.
And I said, well, and he said, this is why, he said, I told you that I understand where you're coming from. And he said, but I don't typically share. He said, every time I've ever gone down this path, it always starts to affect our ability to live in the matrix.
Well,
he's like, so,
did you notice that Robert Platter only has an email address, no website?
I didn't look at that because I was so familiar.
He doesn't have a website.
I've
because
to
the
this.
Truth is, he's attacked.
Right.
You know, anything that we have in the matrix is going to be vulnerable. I.e., this radio show when I start
right.
doing stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. and you know, and I have to play with it though. And there's only one reason why I know I have to play with it, because I'm attracted to it. Anything
but
I'm attracted to, I have to play with this.
Mm-hmm.
And it will affect things. Of course it's going to affect things. Meaning, David knew it. He knew what was going on. He knew based on our conversations. I totally respect when he goes, you know, I'm going to back off. I'm going quiet again. He wants his world to run smoothly.
I was so excited for him to share because he only shares with me, and so it was exciting to me to get to see him open up. He was enjoying it. He was having a great time.
Well, and I was enjoying it as well. I was enjoying,
and then all
you know.
Of a sudden, like,
well, and I felt like I did more talking than listening, which is no surprise to anybody that knows me. that's why I wrote, I'd be interested in his perspective. But I can, you know, when you said that, you know, he's got to back off, I was, you know, like, oh, that, but, you know, I guess.
Well, I think, that, no, what he said to me specifically was, he said, he said everything was going perfect. He was making, what he's trying to do is he's trying to find a way to generate the income that allows you to get as little involved in the matrix as possible. He said, and
right.
he was doing that until he started talking about it. He said, once he started talking about it, then it started falling apart because he put it out there.
Right,
so,
right.
So he said, it's not that I don't want to talk about it. He said, I want to get this done. I want to be done with it. Then I'm free to do whatever I want to do. I think
yeah.
it could be attacked at another level. He said, well, you know, that's fine. But he said, I can get us to the point to where I don't have to worry about this.
yeah, no, right on. Right. And listen, I mean, I said to Scott, you want a cloud buster? And he goes, no. And I went, okay. You know, I mean, you know, I was like, you do astronomy photography. Don't you want to be able to see the stars every night? You know, and the truth is, he's like, I don't want to deal with black helicopters, Goldie, period.
Well,
and
so that's his sovereignty actually stepping in.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If he didn't believe you, he wouldn't fear it.
No, and he knows his own beingness is not, he doesn't want to deal with it. And we all have choices. I mean, that's, mm-hmm. the beauty is we all have choices. I want to experience this. I don't know how long I'm going to, you know, because it kind of made me laugh, because even the stories that Robert was sharing was ultimately, you know, you take a tower down and they put another one up in 3 days. So, and they bombard the situation. So is it really helping? Because I've definitely been on we're going to go off the air, but the chat room, if you want to call in, we're going to probably talk for a few minutes more after the show ends. So, but everybody in the chat room, thank you for being
yeah, I'll
here.
Be a sponsor. We can continue talking, and I'll be a sponsor.
Okay. Come back, Goldie. I think, did we go out? Oh, I love you.